Hi there. Welcome to episode 39 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. This is a special series in the lead up to IPL 2021 that I formulated, wherein I interview a fan from each of the 8 franchisees in the IPL. Fans are a very important component of the game, and hearing from these ardent fans will definitely be enriching and their insights will be unparalleled. This episode is basically going to revolve around KKR and a preview of sorts before the exciting 2021 edition. On our podcast today, we have Rishabh Jaiswal, who is a very proactive and enthusiastic cricket fan. And I'm really excited to have him here. I'm sure you'll have so much to take away from his perspectives and insights about this beautiful game. To talk a little bit about our guest, Rishabh Jaiswal is a 22-year-old student from Kolkata who is currently pursuing his postgraduate degree MA in Media and Communication Studies from Christ Deemed to be University, Bengaluru. He's been a sports fanatic ever since he was a child due to his sports-savvy family that would prefer to watch matches in stadiums rather than on television. He's been a KKR fan ever since the inception of IPL in 2008 due to being born and raised from the same city, as well as being a huge fan of KKR co-owner Shah Rukh Khan as well as Sourav Ganguly, who captained the team during the initial seasons of the IPL. Hi Rishabh, welcome to the podcast. Really looking forward to having this discussion with you.
Thank you Neha, the pleasure is all mine. Really looking forward to be a part of this conversation as well.
Thank you so much, Rishabh. And when you look back at KKR's season last time around, what are your major reflections?
We missed out. We started off really well. I think we were top two, top three in the initial part of the season, and it was almost a given that we would make the top four. Even though there was not much hope that, yeah, that yes, we will actually go on into the finals and win it maybe, because at around that time, it seemed like Mumbai Indians and Delhi Capitals had the better squad. But things were looking promising for us. But then again, a string of poor performances, a few losses on the row, and our season really got derailed. So it became very difficult. Then there were these issues regarding the batting order, especially in the middle order. Then there were issues regarding captaincy with Dinesh Karthik stepping down and Owen Morgan coming to take his place. So I think that sort of disbalanced the squad. Andre Russell's form also didn't help us. So it was always going to be a challenge from then onwards to make any significant progress into ensuring that we get top four, but we missed out by a very small margin, but through net run rate. So
it was
very close, but not close enough. But hopefully by this season things improve.
Definitely. I mean, KKR has been a class outfit, having won the IPL multiple times. So a lot was expected of them. But then I think net run rate type of small components can actually derail the entire campaign. That's true. When you look back and actually look at the hits and the misses of last season, what are your biggest pointers here?
Certainly the biggest hit for me last season was Shubman Gill. It was decided that he was going to open the innings at somewhere around the latter half of IPL 2019 when the KKR management finally decided that opening the innings is ideal for Shubman. And his performances improved significantly, and he established himself as an opener. And in the 2020 edition as well, we saw that Shubman, who had really good form, and played some brilliant knocks for us. And I felt like there was too much pressure on him, because other than Shubman Gill, the other openers, if it was either Rahul Tripathi or sometimes even Sunil Narine, or at one point even Nitish Rana had opened. So they would not get going as well as, say, someone like Shubman Gill. So it put a lot of pressure into him. But still, I think for most part, Shubman Gill did fantastically well for KKR. And it was because of that which I think led to him getting selected for the Indian team as well. Another player that really impressed me around this point of time was in fact Kamlesh Nagarkoti, who was clocking in some really good pace. He was taking crucial wickets for us as well. And too bad that his injury-prone stage continued in this season as well, and because of which his form derailed to some extent. Prasid Krishna also looked really good for us, but it was still not good. These were only a few bowlers that actually clicked for us in the long run, mm-hmm. and that's why sometimes it felt like we were overly reliant on our batting to sort of help us get through matches. And so these were the players I felt like were our. Another player that I really liked was Rahul Tripathi. Tripathi, who I was surprised that Rajasthan Royals had let go of him, considering how good he was for
them.
So I felt like when we got him in the auction, I thought that was a scalp. And in the initial game, Rahul Tripathi looked really good and was doing incredibly well for us. And then after a while, somehow his form also dropped as well. So I think he would have a point to prove, and I hope that this season he comes good as well, because I believe he will be an important player for us too.
Exactly. I mean, these are all underrated players, and they've actually done so well coming from the under-19 system and everything. I think,
Agreed.
There's a lot to see in this season. And as you previously mentioned too, KKR did miss out by a small margin to enter that qualifier. So what are your thoughts on the entire system of net run rate, and just thoughts on that?
It is what it is. It is a necessary evil. You need something like this, because because what we had last season was that you had, I think, three teams who were on 14 points, and we missed out because because of those slew of losses that we had, and we had big losses too. I think I remember one game in which we were all out for 85 or 87 or something like that. So that definitely doesn't help. With regards to net run rate, I don't, even if I had any objections to it, I wouldn't have any sort of alternatives towards net run rate as well. So net run rate sort of becomes very important, and I think teams have to sort of include it in their game plans and strategies in order to decide how they move up the IPL table. So it is important. Sometimes we don't like it, but then again, that's how it is.
That's true. And also, it goes without saying, right, that KKR actually has one of the strongest overseas lineup in this IPL. Now, we have Andre Russell and Sunil Narine, and we've seen how they've been big game changers. And your thoughts on the impact they'd have on the team?
Immense. I mean, Andre Russell and Sunil Narine have been our trump cards for the Knight Riders. I mean, I remember the first time when we signed Sunil Narine, I remember Gautam Gambhir paid a lot of money to ensure. By Gautam Gambhir, I mean Kolkata Knight Riders. The management paid a lot of money to ensure that we would get him in the auction. And his first couple of seasons, he was fantastic. He was virtually unreadable. You could he would, just outwit and bamboozle the best batsman. I remember in IPL 2014, when Sachin Tendulkar was still playing, I believe when that the season when KKR actually won the IPL, and he was one of the players of the season for me. He managed to out bamboozle Sachin Tendulkar and got him clean bowled. And for someone as good as Sachin Tendulkar, when I saw that sight, you could tell that Deer was a really special player. And what I'm even more impressed by is that as seasons have improved, Sunil Narine's batting prowess has definitely increased. And he, to the extent that he became an opener almost, and he would be a pinch hitter of sorts. Yes, there is this risk that is there. Like, he can get out really early. But then again, if his things go well, he can score really quick, a lot of quick runs for us and get us off to a very good start. So. But then again, in the past couple of seasons, his batting and his bowling have seemed to have taken a dip. So our reliance on Sunil Narine has been costing us a little bit as well when it comes to winning matches. Which is why I think this time around in the auction, we saw people like Shakib Al Hasan and Harbhajan Singh come. So it's sort of in indicating that maybe we might not have to rely on Sunil Narine too much when it comes to his bowling performances. So that's about Sunil Narine. And as for Andre Russell, well, they call him Russell. They don't call him Russell the Muscle for nothing. One of the most destructive batsmen in the IPL.
Yeah.
Someone whom we got for really cheap. and then he's explosive with the bat. If he gets going, then or the opposition bowlers, they don't stand a chance. He just snatches the game away from the opposition. And KKR just wins, even though it may seem like KKR had no chance of winning the game. And he's also really handy with the ball as well, which makes it all the more better. That being said, I think there was some issue with him and the management about his ideal batting position. So the thing is, Jera could usually come at around 5-6 at the 5th, 6th, or 7th position. Mm-hmm. And somehow he didn't like the idea of coming so low. He wanted to play a little, wanted to have a more important role in the batting innings, and he wanted to sort of be more in the middle order rather than in the low middle order. But then again, his form was really poor in IPL 2020.
Yeah.
Which also led to some rumors that maybe he might get released. Thankfully, they didn't do that because I still think he's got it in him. I still think he's an incredible player. So again, I hope that he actually comes on form. I think Indian pitches probably suit his style of batting a little more. So he was hoping that Dreyras can come good for us, because once he does, there's nobody who can stop him. Yeah.
Fair enough. I mean, in the days he's not playing versus RCB and going all bonkers in the bowling.
I remember there was that game against RCB at the Chinnaswamy in IPL 2019. I was watching the television and I was almost about to switch it off, because I was like, the run rate is somewhere around 16 and 3-4 overs to go, and it didn't seem like we were going to win this game. And then Andre Russell just absolutely hammers every RCB bowler out of the park.
Exactly.
You need players like these. You need players who can change the game within moments.
Definitely, And when you focus, the team's most expensive player right now is Pat Cummins. And I'm sure he will try to better his IPL 2020 performance. Do you think that, leaking out that much money for him made sense? And what is the obsession with foreign quick bowlers?
I don't know personally, because I feel like bowlers, when it comes to fast bowlers, I mean, they're a requirement in any team. But somehow it happens that players like Pat Cummins end up becoming the most expensive buys.
Yeah.
It's something which I don't really understand. But that's how auctions go, and that's how management just make their decisions. Because the thing with Pat Cummins and his expensive price tag needs to be taken into account is Pat Cummins actually played for KKR before that particular auction. He was in fact a player for us, and he used to bowl alongside the likes of Morne Morkel and so on, and he would be really good.
Yeah.
But then again, IPL 2020 wasn't good for him either, bowling wise. You could only see a few flashes of his quality. Otherwise, he leaked a lot of runs for us.
That's true.
I think this time around, now that our bowling coach Kyle Mills, hopefully he can improve, and he can. Is it Kyle Mills? If I'm not wrong,
it is
right. Yes. Sorry, my bad. I hope that he gets his form back. He has been doing incredibly well for Australia in the recent India-Australia series. He was in fact the player of the series, and he had done. And even though India were fantastic in that series, Kyle Mills, Pat Cummins had done a really really good job of sort of making Indian batsmen struggle a lot whenever he bowled. So, and the thing is, if Pat Cummins goes well, this also bodes well for us, because we have some really good bowlers in Lockie Ferguson and Harry Gurney too, who can also contribute. And Lockie Ferguson has been really good for New Zealand as well.
Yes.
So I think Pat Cummins coming in form for us will only be a good thing, because because a good fast bowler is always a prized asset. He's also a handy batsman as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if he really improves his form, I'm probably repeating this particular aspect. But Pat Cummins will be a really useful addition to our arsenal, and at some point he has to justify his price tag, because if he doesn't perform well enough, the team will have to release him because of that particular price tag, and they'll have to look for other options.
Most certainly, and hopefully he can have a good season this time around. And
yeah, definitely.
We've also seen, you know, how Shakib Al Hassan has returned to KKR, and Ben Cutting and Tim Seifert are also some impact players, and they've done incredibly well in T20 cricket. Again, how impactful is their thing to KKR?
Shakib Al Hassan was someone we needed actually in a squad, even though we let him go at some point. The interesting thing was the moment we let him go, Sunrisers Hyderabad scalped him, and they ended up winning the IPL. But the thing is, Shakib is one of the best T20 players in the world right now. A fantastic all rounder, someone who's also very well versed with the IPL and with the Knight Riders. He was even a fan favorite actually when he first joined the Knights, and he would contribute really well with the ball mostly, and also with the bat as well. So all in all, a highly reliable and dependable individual. And as for Ben Cutting, he's had a really good season in the Big Bash, and he's been at it for a while. He's been playing IPL for a long while. He's been he's highly experienced, and I don't know how often he might have to play because of the whole four foreign players thing, but. So he's more like a substitute. He's also rather really old as well. So he'll be used rather sparingly, or in case he might get some injury or something. But otherwise, a really good addition to the squad. And as for Tim Seifert, he has been explosive. For New Zealand, he's been doing really well in the Big Bash. He was. And for his national team, it is something and he's certainly one I'm looking forward to. He also comes across as a decent substitute for someone like a Dinesh Karthik. If in case we might need another wicketkeeper, not very likely. But if at all his services are needed, then he's a brilliant substitute. It might sort of mess up the team order again in terms of the foreign players rule thing, but. I think Tim Seifert was definitely a good addition. We got someone whom we got for like 20 lakh in the auction, which I think is a
steal.
I don't think we will see a lot of Ben Cutting and Tim Seifert for the Knight Riders, but they are very good, dependable, and very good fallback options if at all we need them.
Fair enough. And we have also seen, you know, how KKR has purchased good domestic players in the form of Vaibhav Arora, who's known for his Yorkers, and even Venkatesh Iyer for that matter. Now, even Karun Nair was picked up by KKR. How crucial do you think are these domestic picks, and will they actually get game time?
That's the million-dollar question. Because the fact that they've been purchased really late into the auction, so the likelihood that they will get significant game time is something that remains to be seen. That being said, there is a lot of promise from the likes of Vaibhav Arora and Venkatesh Iyer. I believe Vaibhav Arora had sort of scalped a hat trick in his first class debut for Himachal Pradesh. He has been really good for that particular state in the Vijay Hazare Trophy as well. As for Venkatesh Iyer, he is known to be a really dependable T20 batsman. He is also someone who's been really good for Madhya Pradesh. He's had a really good decent Ranji Trophy seasons as well. So the thing is that he's also a good left-hand option for batting. I still don't know much of them because, to be very frank, when these players were bought, I had not heard of them. So I had to kind of look them up a little bit, and even that, there is not a lot of details as well. So these players, they have certainly a lot to prove, and when they do indeed play for the Knight Riders. Let's hope that they come good and eventually help the Knight Riders and also sort of make their way into the Indian team. As for Karun Nair, he's been horribly out of touch in recent times. He hasn't been finding his spot. He was someone who was known to be a regular in the first team for India, but that's not been happening at all. But then again, his quality is something which we all know. I mean, he scored a triple hundred in his. I believe he scored a triple hundred in his in his first Test match or something like that. So
versus England in that 2016.
Versus England, exactly. So I mean, and which is insane. And I hope that, and even though he has been on and off for Karnataka, his state as well. But again, if he can come good for us, because he might be a good opening backup as well to someone like Shubman Gill and Rahul Tripathi. So if one of those players might be out of form or might get injured, he slots in automatically. And again, he's someone who's played a lot in the IPL as well. He's just, like, Kolkata Knight Riders is actually his fifth franchisee. He's played for RCB, Rajasthan, Delhi Daredevils back when they were Daredevils, and then Kings 11. So that experience will definitely prove to be handy in the upcoming season as well. So all in all, a decent signing. Again, we don't know how often we see these three, but let's hope they, when we do, they deliver for us.
Exactly. And I'd be meaning to ask you this. What are your thoughts on Morgan as the captain? And why not Dinesh Karthik?
To be very frank with you, when I was not a huge fan of Dinesh Karthik as captain in the previous season as well. It didn't seem like the team played particularly well under his stewardship. While he, I think in IPL 2019, Dinesh Karthik himself, by the latter half, got his form back, but it was too late by then. But in IPL 2020, you could see that his form dropped quite a lot as well. You could see that he clearly seemed a bit distracted, either by his captain's responsibilities or management issues or whatever it was. It definitely seemed like his confidence and his focus was a bit off. And when he stepped down, you could guess this was the case because he voluntarily stepped down. It didn't seem like he was forced by either the coach Brendan McCullum or anyone else to do that, make a decision. But when he stepped down, he gave a statement saying to focus on his batting and contributing more to the team's calls. It's very clear that he wants to sort of streamline his approach to the game more, and the captaincy was sort of distracting him in some ways. But then again, Owen Morgan, someone who's actually played for the Knight Riders and rejoined us actually. And as for captaincy, well, he already is the captain of England. Under him, England have done fairly well. He knows a thing or two about captaincy, and I think in IPL 2020, there were some flashes of just how good a player he was and how good a captain he was. Obviously, there were a lot of issues happening in the back room, which again didn't help the team scores at all. But I think this time there will be some, because there is some finality now as to who's going to lead the team and what the middle order might look like and which players will be key to the team calls. There will be more focus. So I think Owen Morgan is more than a capable replacement for Dinesh Karthik, and he could definitely help the Knight Riders do incredibly well in the upcoming season.
That's well put. I mean, a fair argument. Dinesh Karthik, I think, performs much better as a batsman, and that finisher role he has. Like, he performed much better after he shed the captaincy. Now that, as you rightly pointed out, the finality is there that, you know, Morgan is the captain, hopefully we can see much more of Karthik, you know, blooming as a batsman.
For sure.
Yeah. And what do you think are the strengths and weaknesses of the squad?
The strength, as you mentioned, our overseas lineup is incredibly good, which could also become a problem because you only have four of them to choose from. And as of now, the four automatic choices become Owen Morgan, the captain, Nandi Russell, Sunil Narine, and Patrick Cummins. So these are already four automatic choices. But then again, there's so much more to choose from as well. So there is that particular aspect But then again, because we have so many choices, it also becomes very they become very dependable also.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is something, and we could rely on them to perform as and when the occasion arises. I certainly believe that our batting is still really strong. Shubman Gill has only gotten better ever since he started playing for India, and he will definitely be someone that we will rely on to sort of start off strongly and give us a really good head start when it comes to the innings. I think when it comes to our weaknesses, it will be in fact our bowling, because even though with Patrick Cummins and Lofty Ferguson, the fact is it's going to be either of them, and if both of them play, then there will be some changes that will happen in the batting aspect as well.
Yeah.
So there'll be a lot of pressure on the foreigner fast bowler, who if whether it's Harry Gurney, Lofty Ferguson, or Patrick Cummins, unfortunately, Kamlesh Nagarkoti and Shivam Mavi haven't had consistent runs in the squad due to injury. Sandeep Warrier hasn't looked very good for us, to be very honest.
Yeah.
And even though Prasidh Krishna, also Kuldeep Yadav and Varun Chakravarti haven't really performed that well for the Knight Riders, and so their form it doesn't look very promising. Prasidh Krishna played really well for India in the recent ODI against England.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that he brings that form with us as well. But our bowling, especially our Indian bowling, aside Prasidh Krishna, does seem to be a concern.
Okay. And again, you know, not playing matches at the Eden Gardens is really unfortunate. This is happening to all
definitely.
The teams, right?
Yes. Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, with Mumbai, Chennai, Ahmedabad and Bengaluru serving as the grounds, how do you think KKR will fare?
Bengaluru has been a good, happy hunting ground for us, actually. I mean, if you remember back in the day, IPL 2008, in the very first match, where we absolutely blitzed the Royal Challengers Bangalore. But then again, it will be a shame. There will be no home crowd due to the pandemic situation. And there won't be any fans, I believe, in the initial parts of the IPL too.
Yeah.
Because I remember even as a child growing up and going to the Eden Gardens and watching the Knight Riders perform. And Eden Gardens, for my personal opinion, is one of the best grounds I have ever been to. And it's a beautiful vibe in that stadium when things get going and when seeing your team perform and win. One of my favorite memories of Eden Gardens will always be, again, the match. There was a match against Sunrisers Hyderabad where Yusuf Pathan had scored 72 out of 22 balls. And we had to win that. And the thing is, we had to win that game within like 14 overs because there was a run rate equation and his innings helped us win it by a comfortable margin. So it will be a huge shame because I do believe that the Knight Riders definitely benefit a lot from playing in the home ground. They have a very good win percentage at Eden Gardens itself. So, and the pitch that is made in the Eden Gardens actually suits the Knight Riders the Knight Riders a lot in terms of batting and bowling, so it will definitely be a loss. But this is something that all teams have to contend with in the IPL this season, and let's hope that we adapt quickly and that we can perform well enough, irrespective of the venue.
That's true, most certainly. And we've also seen, you know, how Varun Chakravarti has been known to add so much value to the team. But I think his fitness levels have ensured that he hasn't donned the blues yet, right? So, my first question here would be, is India actually missing his services? And the second question would be, are franchisees not taking these fitness metrics too seriously?
With Varun Chakravarti, I don't know, because even he is someone who's very promising, who's had really good spells in the domestic leagues as well.
Yeah.
And this is which obviously influenced KKR to go for him. As for KKR, he hasn't really shown his quality yet, in my opinion. But considering that Kuldeep Yadav is going through a really poor run of form, and in terms of the spin bowlers department, we do feel a little short. So Varun Chakravarti's fitness levels are certainly a concern, and because he was someone who was so close to be playing for India and yet missing out for something like this. I think franchisees probably don't consider the fitness aspect too much because they're probably not aware of it, because they sort of run by this assumption that because these players have pretty much athletes, they regularly keep themselves fit. However, there is this understanding that because of the pandemic situation, the fitness levels of a lot of players have gone for a toss. But then with regards to Varun Chakravarti, again, the earlier he improves his fitness levels, the better it is for us. Because again, like you mentioned, highly promising, and again, given Kuldeep Yadav's form, he is someone with whom we will definitely rely on.
Yeah.
On to scalp wicket for us, because like I said, our bowling certainly at this moment doesn't look particularly great.
I mean, yeah, when Kuldeep Yadav entered the scene, everyone was like, you know, this is a Chinaman bowler, so exciting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He had like a very disappointing run. He's not featured in some of the matches, and he's been in the bubble for like so long and has not played. So how do you think that's affecting his morale, and what do you think the issue in his bowling is right now?
With Kuldeep Yadav, the thing, again, someone who I was very stoked when the KKR first got him, and you know, initially he did look really good for us, but even before the pandemic situation, his form didn't seem particularly great. I remember how his spells, he would go for very expensive spells in IPL 2019, which I believe led to him even being dropped for a few games. And even for India at the moment, his form hasn't been great at all, which is certainly a cause for concern. I feel like there's thing about him not having a lot of variety in his bowling. Like, he relies on a few stock deliveries for him to gain wickets. His line and length has been inconsistent as well. I just hope that he gets enough backing from the KKR management, because I still feel like he has lots of potential. He's still 26, so he's still got a lot of cricketing life left in him.
True.
And a slow left arm bowler is always an asset. If playing well is always an asset. So I just hope that Kuldeep can get his mojo back, because once he's on form, he will be one of India's best spin bowlers. But so far, he's just not looking very good at all.
I mean, yeah, hopefully KKR does give him the game time. He finds his mojo and, you know, can deliver the best and eventually make it through India. So that will have to be seen.
Yes.
And are there any players to watch out for this season? Personally, you are looking forward to seeing them?
Shakib, I mean, definitely. I believe that he will be dropped into the squad really immediately. Otherwise, they wouldn't have signed him so early into the auction. Shakib Al Hasan is definitely one to look forward to. Shubman Gill, because he's been in a brilliant run of form ever since he got picked by India. And his performances in Australia have only proved that he has gotten better and better.
Yeah.
And he will be someone that he will be relying on a lot. Captain Morgan, for sure, he's someone whom we will look up to, and who will also definitely will be trying to prove a point now that he is definitely captain, and that he will try to sort of mark his success into the team. He's also spent a good time around India as well, with the Test ODI T20 series that has taken place here. So he's probably gained some experience, and now he'll have a better understanding of the Indian conditions. And lastly, I think Lockie Ferguson, who I personally think should play a little more for KKR, because he's someone who's been really good for New Zealand, and has also become like a talisman of a type bowler for New Zealand too. And he is someone that because when he's in form, then he can even keep Patrick Cummins out of the squad as well. So these are the players I believe we should look forward to as the new season approaches.
Yeah, and are there any particular matches that you're looking forward to, say, for the KKR rivalry with that team or even otherwise?
I'm always looking for the KKR RCB game, because it is star firework.
Okay.
That game will always have everything. The unexpected happens in that game at all times. And our rivalry with Royal Challengers Bangalore has been well documented. And I mean, it was literally the very first game. And KK, I know that the Knight Riders gained a lot of fans when Brendan McCullum played that swashbuckling innings.
Yeah.
So it was. I think I will definitely be looking forward to the RCB games. Also the games against Chennai Super Kings, because because KKR CSK is actually happening in Bangalore, and I am right in Bangalore. So
yes.
If I get a chance to get tickets for that game, I definitely will. I should think KKR CSK would be a very good a game as well. So I think for me, it's always been KKR RCB. That's always been a game I look forward to. But then again, I look forward to all Knight Riders games. So yeah.
Yeah, this is the special one, but yeah, that's nice. And is there like a best playing 11 for KKR according to you? Like, who would be your picks for the playing 11?
Well, this is so difficult because I'm still confused about the middle order situation in that team. If I had to choose the starting 11, it would be Gill, Tripathi, Rana, Morgan, Dinesh Karthik, Andre, Shakib at 7. Nagarkoti at 8, Mavi 9, Krishna 10, and Ferguson 11.
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
I have no spinners in my team, but then again, that's how I don't have much hope on the spinners at the moment as well. So yeah.
I think Shakib would be a good the spinner, right?
Yes, definitely. And also Sunil Narine's form in IPL 2020 isn't something that I have been very impressed by. So unless he just sort of remakes a turnaround, I would still not keep him in the squad just yet.
Okay, fair enough. And my last question to you would be, what are your predictions for the season? Like, it can be IPL predictions also and KKR-centric also.
Looking by the auction and given the squad that all teams have, it's very clear. It's even now, I still think that Mumbai Indians and Delhi Capitals have the best squad. However, teams like Punjab Kings, if that's their new name now, yes, that's what. And Royal Challengers Bangalore, they have definitely stacked up. They spent a lot of money on a lot of good players, so they're also one to look forward to. But we don't look so bad ourselves. And now that we have a very capable backroom staff and players and a lot of good players with us and this Knight Riders team is certainly a little more balanced than the previous one, at least I hope. I am expecting a top four at least. I think anything other than that would be considered a disappointment. For the Knight Riders, what happens after that, it's anybody's guess, because the favorite will be Mumbai Indians and Delhi Capitals. If the Knight Riders can upset that, I'll be the happiest person. So yeah.
Yeah, hopefully KKR can have that magical season. And we've seen what a champion outfit they are. It's just about getting that team combination right and the stability factor.
Definitely.
Yeah. And with this, we come to an end to what has been a very interesting and intuitive chat. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank you, Rishabh, for joining me on the podcast episode and for
thank
leaving
you so
us
much.
All with those fantastic insights. And thank you for accommodating this interview in your very busy schedule. And definitely hoping to
no
have
problem
you back
at all.
On the podcast.
No problem at all. Yes.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank you listeners for ardently supporting my blog and this podcast. We're growing each episode, strength to strength. It really gives me the zeal to keep working and delivering quality content to you all. A heartfelt thank you. Do check out @ never on the back foot on Instagram for the latest facts, trivia, quizzes, terminology and a lot more. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, and a lot of other platforms. So please do spread the word. Also, feel free to share your thoughts and suggestions for the already published episodes and recommendations for future topics. Do share this widely and your support is really appreciated. See you next time, listeners. Cheers, stay safe, and take care. Bye for now.